stand up and thank the Lord for something that maybe he's done this week for them. Good. Anybody else?
Thank the Lord for saving me. He's been good to me. March the 6th, 1951. Never forget it. And he's been faithful to me. I know a lot of times that I have a bit of help, but I'm not worthy of his love. But I thank him. Thank him for being with me each and every day. Hey. I love each and every one of you, and I pray for me and pray for us. And I pray for y'all the best I can. And help me to get my loved ones in. I have people in my family that I know is lost. And I want to see them saved, but I think they get tired of hearing me talk about it. But one day, they can't point the finger at me and say that I didn't tell them. And I just hope that
they'll
see the
light real soon. Amen. Hope to know the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Don't everybody stand at one time now. Well, I tell you, we have so much to thank the Lord for. We really can't even, really it's hard to get started because I think if we do get started, it's kind of really hard just to quit because we feel like that we've left him out of some of the things that he has blessed us with. But he knows everything. He knows our heart. And that's one thing that I love about the Lord. That he knows my heart. Sometimes my heart, it gets kind of, in a way, kind of on the wicked side in what I think. But the thing about it is, it's not because of him. But it's because of what I am doing, and I know that I have to be careful each and every day. Because if I'm not, he knows exactly where that portion of my life that he can kind of weave on in. And just like I'm mentioned here many times. It was before I think we had the church had a little crack right there. It was in the paint or in the wallpaper, I mean the sheetrock or whatever. But it was really, you didn't notice it. Not unless you really looked at it. Which now you can't notice it because it's been covered up with white. Woo, glory to God. That tells me one thing. That little crack that Satan got in maybe last week in my life, God has already covered that crack up. But the thing about it is, if another crack opens up, it's not going to be because of the Lord. It's not going to be because of Satan either. It's going to be because of myself. I think sometimes we blame Satan for a whole lot of things that he don't have no part in. We'll blame Satan for not allowing us to come to church. He didn't keep us from coming to church. You know who kept us from coming to church? We did. Ourselves. Because we know what the Word says. We know what God said. But, you know, we have too many people today that just want to believe this or that, but they don't want to believe the truth. Now, I was talking to an individual this evening, right before I come to church, just called and checked up on him and his wife, and see how they're doing. And he said they're doing all right. And I says, well, you can't be doing all right. He said, why? I said, because you ain't in church. And you know you need to be there, right? He said, yes, I know I need to be there. I said, who's stopping you? He said, well, you know how the devil is. Wait a minute now. You blaming the devil, well, you need to be blaming yourself. And I could talk to him that way because who he is, and I know, you know, he talks to me the same way. We can get down to the fact of what we're talking about. We can get right down to the core of it. We don't have to beat around the bush about it. And he says, I know it. I said, bud, I says, we're going to be praying for you. I've been praying for you. Been praying for your wife and your family and everything. And I says, one of these days, it ain't going to be me, but something's going to grab a hold of you and drag you to church. And there ain't going to be no dragging or drugging you to church. Nothing like that. Because you're going to come to find out that's where you need to be at. And I'm going to be honest with you. You need to be in church, first off. I said, but I would really love it if you just come on down and join us. I really would. And he says, I know you would. I said, well, what's keeping you from coming then? I said, you say that I'm your friend. He said, yeah, you are. And I said, I've told you that you're my friend too. I said, your friend's going to tell you the truth. And I said, I want you to tell me also the truth. I said, you'll have a better marriage. You'll have a better home life. You'll be nicer to your family. You'll be nicer to your people, the individuals you come around. And you won't even have to worry about them slang words that comes out of your mouth every now and then. That you said you just can't, it just seemed like it's something there that I just can't, it just grabs a hold to me all the time. That's what grabs a hold to you is you at home. You need to be around God's people where don't talk like that. And I says, you know that I'm just helping you. You know that I love you, and I just want to see you. happy. And I says, you're not happy. I can tell it. I says, I know that you got struggles and burdens and everything. I says, everybody has. I said, but I want to introduce you to somebody, to the burden bearer. He will bear all the burdens that you have. He says, I know you're talking about Jesus. I said, that's exactly right. I said, but you know something? He has somebody else too that helps him. He said, who is that? I said, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. He's the only one that can comfort your heart. He is the only one that can give you peace. He's the only one that can give you joy, and he can give it to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to serve all three. You have served God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot leave one of them out. If you do, then you need to check up. You need to check up and get back to the altar. You need to go to, you right there, you need to make at your altar where it's at. I said, you need to check up. I said, but you know, I asked him, I says, now, I'm going to ask you something. I says, sir. I says, would you like to be happy? Not allow anything at all to worry you? He says, yeah, I sure would. I says, I got the remedy for it. You say you're saved, come on, get in church. That right there's the remedy. Because when you get in church and you stay in church, and you, when before you say, well, we need to go off this weekend. We need to go to the mountains this weekend. You're going to say, well, you know something, I don't have to go to the mountains this Sunday. Me and my wife is off all week. We retired. I can go on a Monday. I said, yeah, you sure can. I said, but if you want peace and you want joy and you want happiness, come on and join us. I said, I'll make a bargain with you. And I says, but you're going to have to do something. He said, what's that? I said, what I would like for you to do is give the church, come down to where we at, give the church 30 days. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking, because that's what God's asked me to ask you. I'm going to give you 30 days. And you come for 30 days. You come for Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, and then when we have a revival, you come to all the revivals that month, or you come to the Jubilee when we have a Jubilee, or whatever. But you make a point to be in God's house. And not only make a point to be in God's house, but make, since you ain't working, you make a point that where you can, you may want to go out and do some visiting. Me and you could go out and visit some people. We could visit some of your family members. I said, but if you give it 30 days, honestly, 30 days, and you say, I'm not going to worry about nothing else. Only thing I'm going to worry about, I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to worry about giving God 30 days, honestly. And I said, in 30 days, if you come up and you tell me, says I don't need this, it's not for me, then you could walk out to church and you won't have to worry about me anymore. I says, but I am going to be praying for you.
I said, give it a try, 30 days. That's all I'm asking. I mean, hey, hallelujah. I mean, what's 30 days? What's 30 days compared to a lifetime? You say you're saved? Come on, get in church. Come on, give us 30 days. That's all I... Don't give us 30 days. You give God 30 days. And say, God, I'm going to take him up. But I'm asking you to help me with it. That's all people have to do. And they don't realize when they come to church and when they come in. And I tell you, I think the reason a whole lot of people don't come to no more today in church is because they may not know everybody in the church. They say, well, I don't know nobody. I don't know the names. Well, I didn't either when I first come down here. But after I kept coming, the names got easier. I started remembering. And I says, if that's the case, then you just call me, and me and my wife will come by and pick you up, and I'll take you out for a steak. You and your wife both. I said, but give us a try. Give God a try. You ain't give God a try yet. He said, you know, I ain't never thought about it that way. He said, I know I'm saved. And I believe he is. I do. I honestly believe he is saved. Because he's told me some things about the way he got saved and how he got saved and everything. And yes, and he did go to church that one time. His mother and his father both, they was all in church. And he was in church too with them. But he went to work, he said. And then after he went to work, I just... You know how it is when you go to work, you come home and you say, I worked all week. I'm tired. My body just can't stand it any longer. I hurt. My legs are so tired, they can't even hold me up. It's because you're not dependent on God to hold you up. You're not allowing God to take a hold of your legs. And for God to take and put his arm right down your leg. And allow you to be able to stand. You take so much thankful for granted. I got two verses here I want to read tonight. And I know I've done maybe a whole lot of rambling, but hey, that's all right. I feel like I've done what the Lord asked me to do. But it says right here in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 31, 32, and 33. I said two verses, three verses. And he's speaking to Jesus right here. He is speaking to the people of that day. He's speaking to Dr. Luke.
He's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the people that followed him. And he says this, "Oh, or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Other words right here is speaking about right here, speaking to the king right here, and where the king is going to war. We see right here where the king right here says, another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet them that cometh against him with 20,000. The king right here he's saying, I've got thousands of men right now is going to come against me and is going to come against what I've been trying to do. But as they come, they just don't come with their army. They come with 20,000 more individuals. We as individuals, we as the child of the king, we fight every day in the world, in the Christian life that we live. We are at war with the world. And yes, I don't know why, but some of the churches are at war within. But when they are at war within, then you have a bunch of hypocrites. You have some people that they say, yeah, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. I know he went to Calvary for me. I know he shed his blood for me. I know he died for me. But yet the way they act in church and the way they criticize people, criticize the individuals in church, it's not right. But we're seeing the same thing today as it was back then. We don't just have 1,000 individuals anymore that's up against the church, up against the Christian, and who we're up against. No, they're growing by the multitude. And we've got more than 20,000. Now, this coming, I think it's this coming, was it Friday or Saturday? The first day of the month. Saturday is the first day of April. First day of April is going to be Saturday. You're going to see individuals come out of the woodwork for ever since last year talking about that they don't have no rights, that they don't have no day that's set aside for them to where they can celebrate. But what are they? They're denying God. And what's the Word of God say? The Word of God says, and I may misquote this, but God's Word says, if you deny me, you're a fool. If you do not believe that God exists, you're a fool. Now some people say, how can you come up and say that? I said, well, don't we have an April Fool's Day? First day of April. We call it April Fool's Day. It's set aside for them. It's set aside for the individual that's denying the truth, that's denying God and who God is. I was watching a program last night on TV. And they was, last night, it was this afternoon on TV. And they was talking about that this individual, that they had the man's name on TV. I mean, I'm glad I didn't even remember his name, because I didn't want to give him no recognition at all. But he says that he has a way, and he has the scientific fact behind it. Right there, and that's when I just cut my ears off. He's got the scientific fact about it. Well, if anybody got the scientific fact about it, it's God, because God's the one that made the scientific fact. He said this, that within 2 to 4 years, there's going to be a pill out. And this pill, anybody can take it, and their life will not end. They will not get no older. Matter of fact, they will get a little younger than what they are now. But they'll live forever. And the individuals that was telling all of this, they sat there and they hollered about it and everything, and they believed it. They said, man, I tell you what, I don't know. You mean that? I'm going to have to work all that much? I ain't going to hit retirement age. I said, well, you dummy, if you believe that, you need to work all them extra years. You don't need no retirement age. But see, that's not going to happen. See, they want to come up with something else to where it can make them a little more richer. Where they can take that billfold that they got in the back pocket. And they can take it and they can open it up. And it will be so thick. So thick with $100 bills. 50s, 100s, even $1,000. I mean, be so full. And they want to fill the bank accounts. They want to buy this and they want to buy that. I also saw this evening too, on the news, that there was somebody, or was an actor. I think his last name is Cage. What was that first name? I can't even remember his first name. But here, back in 2007, his wealth had got down to nothing. And he had gotten, I think it was either 5 or 6, homes. They're not homes. He didn't call them homes. They call them mansions, which, you know, they can take our mansions and they can be able to put it right in the middle of my room when I get to heaven. Hallelujah. But he started losing them. He had one that somebody come by and offered him
$30 million for this home down in Florida. He turned it down. He says, I know I can get at least what I owe on it. I know I can get at least $36 million. And he held on. He held on to it. He says, no, I'm not going to settle for that. And it won't but a year later that the bank came and foreclosed on him because he could not make the payments. The bank foreclosed on him, and you know what they paid him for it? $5.6 million. He lost $25 million. And he's having to pay that back. He's also having to pay that or go to prison. He's got taxes. $400 to $500 million in back taxes that he owes the government. Now, you want to know where our money's going? For them. For people like them. They can just go out here and buy what they want to buy and they don't never have to pay taxes. But we go out here and we can buy something. We can buy a $20,000 automobile. And if we go 1 or 2 years without paying the taxes on it, what are they going to do? They're going to come by and they're going to take it. They're going to take it away from us. And then if we still don't pay, and then if we still owe taxes on it, then so, well, you got to pay the taxes somehow. You owe it. You got to pay it. They'll end up going to court, and you know what the court will do? Now, this right here is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Want somebody to pay taxes and pay them and pay the city back and what they owe the city. But the city takes them to court, and then the judge sentences them to 10 or 15 years in prison. And they say, what in the world are they doing? How's he going to pay any taxes? How's he going to pay if he didn't owe but $100? How would he pay it? I mean, this system that we have gotten here since Ronald Reagan has really completely gone out of control. We need some help as far as the people that are trying. But yet we got people out here that's not trying. But if they would just realize that if they would do what this book says for them to do, they don't have to worry about it. Because God's going to take care of them. What did God say over in the book of Malachi? The last book in the Old Testament. And he says right here, I'm going to read these and then I'm going to stop. But it says, even from the day of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say,
wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offering? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye are robbed, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that thou may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that thou shalt be not, thou shalt not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your wine cast her fruit before the time of the in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be for delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout, a shout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. But I like what verse 10 says. There's three words. There's three words here that I think that we as Christians, we've overlooked. And it's not about the tithing. And it's not about the offering. But it's it's not in the middle of the verse. It's the last portion of the first verse. That thou may be meat in my house, and prove me now. What God is asking us to do, God is saying, church, Faith Baptist Church as a whole, I want you to prove me. I want you to prove me tonight. And what this word says, and what he's really speaking about there, he's speaking about the tithes and offering. What a whole lot of people do, they don't give the tithes and they don't give the offerings. But see, people today, they have it all misunderstood. They think God blesses them on the tithe. Well, they're wrong. Because if that was the case, then he would not have said offering. Where he blesses you and where he blesses me is when we give above the tithes. When we give above it. When we give out that offering, because when we give out that offering,
That is something that we've having a sacrifice. But he's saying, prove me now. Faith Baptist Church, I want you to prove me now that I can do what this word says I can do. You prove me. Put me to the test. Is what he's saying. You put me to the test. Have we put him to the test? No, we haven't. And I think the reason for that is because we've been so... I ain't going to say the word fear, but I think we just didn't think that we should test God. But he's saying, prove me now. Same thing. He said, I want you to test me. I want you to test me tonight. When you come and you pray, when you pray tonight and when you pray tomorrow, I want you to test me. That's what he's saying. How does he want us to test him as far as Faith Baptist Church comes? Well, one thing that I see and I know that what one thing that would help this church and would help it to grow is that if somebody happened to come in and visit and then they hear the gospel and then they come to the altar and then they look to me and they say, I need somebody to come down here. Then I may ask Brother Bill to come down and speak to them. Talk to them by explaining them what they need in salvation. That's the first thing that this church has got to have on the heart and on the mind, is seeing somebody to get in this church and to walk these aisles and come to this old-fashioned altar and allow God and allow the Holy Spirit to work within their heart that they may be saved. It's not my preaching. It's not me. I don't want nobody to look to me. I don't want nobody to even remember my name. Only name I want the people to remember, and the only individual that I want individuals, people, to look to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that went to Calvary. He's the one that shed his blood. I didn't go to Calvary, and I did not shed no blood for you or for nobody else. But he did. He wants us to test him. You say, well, how do we know who to invite? How do we know to really pray for them? I'll tell you. You just get God's Word and start reading. God will lay somebody on your heart. And when he does, then you get down. You get in your little closet and you pray. And you pray and you name them. Don't say, my son or my cousin or my next door neighbor. Don't say that. Name the individual. That's what he wants us to do. Because when we come to God and we come to God with a petition and we name them, God's going to say, I believe they mean business. I believe they mean business. And then you know what God's going to say? Say, child, don't worry about that one no more. That one child is just as good as being saved. Because they don't know what they've got themselves into. The individuals don't know what they got themselves into. When the Lord Jesus put somebody on your heart and on my heart and on our mind to pray for them, and we name them out and we tell God, I said, God, I cannot judge them. I do not know if they're saved or not. But with the life that they're living, something has got to change. I know that. And God, you're the only one that can change it. You're the only one that can help them. I can't help them. And I can go to them as a pastor of this church. I said, Lord, only thing I do is pray to you. And you ask God, I mean, you're going to have to do it. I can't. I can't help you in this. He'll come back and he says, I know you can't help me. But you've already helped some. We've got to test him. I believe he wants us to test him every day of our life. Because see, that's the only way the church is going to grow. That's the only way the church is going to get back their standards. They're going to get back to what thus says the Word of God. Not just what the preacher thou saith. I can tell you everything. I can read the scripture to you every day. But if the Holy Spirit don't work in your heart, I'm just obeying God. I'm up here, I'm not reading the scripture. I can't save nobody. Lord, I wish I could. I really do. I wish I could. But I can't. Because you know how much I want this church to grow. You know how much I want you to grow. And you are growing. Each one of you have grown since I've been here. You may not will say, well, preacher, you know, I'm doing all I can before. Anything. I said, but I've seen some things that maybe you haven't noticed. That each one of you have grown in the Lord. And that's what it's all about. That we need to come and grow together. And if we grow together in the Lord, there's nothing that can stop us and stop the Lord from doing what the Lord has laid on our hearts to do for Faith Baptist Church. And it's not all about this church, it's not about this building. It's about them souls right here. Did you realize, I don't know how many, since we've been here tonight, probably maybe 100, maybe 200, that slipped off into eternity tonight. And they weren't expecting that, but they gone. Where did they go? I don't know. I don't know if they went to heaven or hell. But every which way they go, they're going to spend eternity. They're going to spend as long in hell as long as a Christian does in heaven. And we know what that says. We know what that means. We're going to be there for eternity. What'd you say? We're going to be there forever. What did you say again? We're going to be there for eternity.
We're going to be there forever and forever and forever and forever. And we can't even come back home if we wanted. We can't even come back to this place if we wanted to. Because what we must do, He's given us opportunity now to do it. And what we must do it now. We don't need to put it off to tomorrow. We don't need to put it off to this Sunday. But we need to start doing it now. Because how many of you tonight does know that somebody that you knew has passed away within the last maybe a couple, two or three days, or last week? Probably each and every one of you do. But even though if you don't, you can look in the obituary columns. And you don't know if they are saved or not. I hope they were. But it's nothing I can do about that now. It's nothing they can do about it. They've done all they can do. They didn't get saved. They remember the last invitation that was given. They remember the last message that they ever heard. If they are saved, they up there in heaven with Johnny Tickle, Benny Hinn. I mean, not Benny Hinn. Ben Poofy. I know. I don't think Benny Hinn's gone myself, but no. Ben Poofy and so many others. Maze Jackson, Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody. Hey, we going one day and we're going to be able to meet some of them. I'm going to be able to go there and shake their hands. And I'm going to be somebody. I'm already somebody. But I will really be somebody then. Why? Because I've been to shake the hands of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit now. Praise God. I could keep on going another hour and a half, not 2 hours. If y'all let me, but I ain't going to do it. Because my wife, she done already done it.
I wanted to.
Nah. I tell you what. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this evening. Father, we're just so thankful that we can come to thy house, Lord. And yes, we can have some laughter. And Father, we can have some serious time also. But Lord, when it comes right down to it, we know who we're serving. And I do thank you for that. I thank you for your saving grace. I thank you for the price that you paid for my life. I was not worthy for you to pay for my life. But I am so thankful. And I'm so grateful that you did. And Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, I pray for each and every member that's here tonight. Lord Jesus, if something was said with any message, Father, that will encourage them, that will make them stronger. Father, that they can be able to speak to somebody and be able to pray like they've never prayed before, Father. You said in your word in the book of Malachi, prove me now. That's what I'm going to do. I'm giving all the individuals here tonight, the church family, an opportunity to be able to, where they can prove you. And Father, that we are putting you to the test. That Father, that you will stand behind your word. And Lord, I know, Father, that just because we have preached on him and what we've said tonight, Lord, we know that it's a possibility that when we come to you and we pray, Father, we may not hear an answer. We may not even see nothing happen this week. But Father, something is going to happen. I know that. Because your word says so. Because you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'd be with us in all the way to the end. And that's through this life and through the life that comes. Lord, we love you tonight. We just want to thank you once again for the people that's here tonight. Lord, like I've said many, many times, I do believe that these individuals love you. I do believe that these individuals also love the church. And I also believe that the individual does not want to see anyone to die and go to hell. Father, I believe that these are some of your choice servants on this side of heaven. And I'm so pleased that you have allowed me to come and to be their pastor. I pray, Father, that you would help me to be the very best pastor that you have. And Father, I know, Lord Jesus, it has to come from you. I cannot do nothing. But Father, I am asking for thy help. Lord, I know that people talk about the church, but they don't say anything about Remy anymore because I have stopped some of them from doing it. They don't understand why we're still open. But I know the reason why. It's because of you. Lord, tonight we ask that you go with each and every one of us tonight to our respective homes. And Father, as we go to our homes, as we meet the neighbors, the friends that we come in contact with, or family members, who they are. Father, I pray that you'll give each one of us, and even to me, the courage to talk to somebody else. And just to let them know that time is getting short. And Father, we know that. So like I said earlier, what we must do has to be done now. Cannot wait any longer. And Father, we do thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you dismissed. Not unless...